We're about to move on to the next item on our agenda, which is three case studies of very good architecture in the Broccoli area. Our first speaker here is I'm Reimer Rigby. I'm a member of the Broccoli Society. I'm not an architect myself. I just quite like architecture. Our first speaker, though, is Rhys Cannon. He's the founding partner of Gruff Limited, which is a local firm of architects now based in Dragonfly Place, Broccoli. He studied at University College London and founded Gruff in 2010. He works with eight other UCL-trained architects, and together they form a team specialising in innovative residential design solutions and architecture. What he's going to talk about is 47 Breakspears Road, which is actually a very, very interesting building, and I think a real asset to the community, which has greatly improved the road. Anyway, over to Rhys.
I'd like to thank the Broccoli Society for inviting us here today, and particularly Chris Johnson as well. Obviously, we're here to speak about 47 Breakspears Road. Firstly, I thought I'd give a bit of background about ourselves, about Gruff Limited. I established the practice in 2010, working from my flat in Telegraph Hill, and having worked in a variety of other previous practices, which included large commercial firms and those specialising in master planning, mass residential housing, education, public schemes and small bespoke domestic projects. In parallel to this, I've taught architecture at the Bartlett School of Architecture, UCL, for the last 13 years. I was keen to both live and work locally, and we set up our office within the Broccoli Conservation Area on Harefield Road several years ago. I've subsequently been joined by my fellow director, Emily Burnett, and the practice has grown from being a one-man band to 10 people in the last 7 years, many of whom live locally. And subsequently, we've relocated to large premises in Dragonfly Place. I would not call ourselves conservation architects, and we certainly err towards modern contemporary architecture. However, ultimately, we believe strongly in responding to a site's context, whether that be urban, social, financial, or technological and sustainable constraints and opportunities. The majority of our work is domestic and residential in nature, but we also do new build houses and works to existing property, and much of our business is in the local area, particularly the various conservation areas. So, as I said, I'm here to talk about 47 Breakspears Road, which we undertook, and it's for a new build house. At the time, the project was the largest for our practice and the most significant project. And I'll show you the thinking behind our approach to the design, which we acknowledge is just one of many ways we to undertake development within a conservation area. Our client, Richard, was a local resident who had good fortune to acquire the site located in the Broccoli Conservation Area, which at the time was a vacant and derelict plot, suffering from a lack of maintenance, growth, and overgrowth and fly tipping as well. He determined that he would like to engage local practice and partially to benefit from local knowledge, and we were appointed to work with him in the summer of 2013. Essentially, the site was an empty plot that had been occupied by half of an original pair of semi-detached houses built in Breakspears Road in approximately 1890. The site had a checkered history, with the most recent occurrence a lapsed but approved application for a contemporary compastiche new build house that had superseded a very similarly approved design for multiple flats. Prior to this, there was a two-storey semi-detached house dated from the 1950s, which had been built on the empty plot created from the demolition of the original property, which was bomb damaged in the Second World War. It's actually in thought that the bomb struck across the road, and that number 47 suffered collateral structural damage, requiring it to be pulled down. So, to provide some background and context for the site and helping us to understand it, and with a view to our ultimate planning submission, we produced this diagram, which shows the historical timeline. from a conservation perspective, what struck us and the most, and we thought was very important, is that the original Victorian property, where other local examples essentially create the heritage value of the conservation area, had stood for a shorter period of time than it had been vacant. A very clear example of how an area is characterised not only by its original design and intent, but by events and social changes shaping its history and development. So we were very open-minded about the style of the house and that was to be proposed for the site, and tried to come at it with no preconceived ideas. The brief provided by our client was for a 5-bed family property and involved a detailed and very useful document about their lifestyle, likes and dislikes. We broke these requirements into an organisational adjacency diagram you see here, and considered the site's key benefits, its orientation, local policy and local precedence. The approach, particularly in regard to the proposal's public frontage and effect on the streetscape, boiled down in our eyes to either an entirely modern, contemporary design, completely different to its neighbours, a modern pastiche of the original Victorian house, emulating the fenestration of its neighbours, which we felt hadn't worked that well in the previous design, or finally a third approach, which is a more faithful replica, at least in aesthetic terms, of the facade of its twinned semi. We explored lots of different options, as can be seen here, with a selection of some of the concept models. The design ultimately lied in the client's hands. Apologies, this slide's a little bit faint. But we were excited by the idea of the last approach, which enabled us to propose a sensitive design to address the streetscape, which would satisfy many of the aspirations of the local conservation area, while enabling a more expressive modern design, both internally into the rear of the property. We'd only be willing to follow this route if the design maintained a degree of honesty through being expressive about this stance and enabled the use of modern materials and building technologies. The Victorian era organisational and arrangement of the rooms within the main body of these semi-detached villas was based on a sensible, practical design principles, allowing for ventilation, natural light and open views, so we saw no reason to meddle with this. However, for want of a better name, the outrigger extending to the side and the rear of the house generally contain aspects of circulation and ancillary uses within the traditional layout. Here we saw an opportunity to create a dynamic set of spaces which opened up long garden views, double and triple height volumes, providing light, ventilation and a sense of space and openness. So key to this was to slightly tweak the position of the staircase in other similar properties and position the stair within the intersection of the two main building volumes, which is what the diagram here is indicating. The triple height stair sits within its own large atrium running from the front door to the top, specifically designed to be a special, unique journey, either rising up through the building or via its descent. The stair itself becomes a series of special rooms and spaces at each landing. From each of these locations, the study, the balcony, master bedroom, door, reading snug and top bedroom, views were focused rearwards to the deep mature gardens which between Breakspears and Tresillian Road via large brick portal frames. So externally, these large brick frames, actually I think we're going to some of the plans now. So just you can see, hopefully you can see these okay. So this is the ground floor plan, and you can see that ultimately it's a large open plan living space which is subdivided by joining. Then there's a large kitchen diner to the rear with a utility space which sits underneath the stair. And this is the first floor plan. So this included the master bedroom with ensuite and another guest bedroom. And you can see here particularly the stair and the void that surrounds it. And then this is the second floor plan, which contained three further bedrooms and a family bathroom. This is just a section which is cut through the sort of side volume and the staircase, and you can kind of see the relationship between the stair, the half landings, and the views out towards the rear. There's just a couple of other sections in the rear elevation. So externally, these large brick frames, both stacked and staggered to mimic the volume of a typical outrigger, the depth of the thick cavity walls had the potential to render those portals as very heavy and cumbersome. However, we set the frames to sit flush with the internal finishes and utilise the tapered brick detail to the cheeks of these openings to create a slimmed down profile. So this was undertaken with a combination of brick specials, which are tapered and angled bricks, as we've seen in these drawings here. So in regards to material selection, we were keen to keep a simple palette, and those attributed to the front facade were ultimately already dictated to us, although not necessarily so simple given the technical requirements and sourcing of equivalent products. Rearwards of the facade, we wanted to clearly delineate those areas which contain the stair, the main atrium space, and thus the more contemporary elements, design elements, from the more standardised layout. And in keeping with the simplified palette, we kept this in masonry, but chose a blue engineering brick to express these elements. So this was a Staffordshire blue engineering stock brick, and additionally, for clarity and what we considered to be a degree of honesty, we ensured that these were visible when viewing the building obliquely from the street, with recessed rainwater downpipes to create essentially a shadow gap between the materials. We're also keen to emphasise the portal nature of the large window openings, and although subtle in its final outcome, we changed the finish of the Staffordshire blue stocks from drag face finish all over to a smooth finish locally to the perimeter of the openings. It's relatively subtle, and unfortunately with the slide you can't quite make that out, but there is a change on the elevation there. So in returning to the front elevation, we also returned to the issue of conservation and that of constructing properties with period features at a time where the manufacturer and regulations have evolved over 120 years since the original house would have been built. So during the planning process, the Broccoli Society and local neighbours were consulted with the design prior to submission, and with the benefit of their blessing, those parties, the application was successfully approved first time under delegated powers without referral to Lewisham's urban design team or either taken to committee. The application did, however, as is standard, have certain conditions applied to it, and these conditions in part reflect an tension that can occur between conservation and innovation, with both the code for sustainable home level to be obtained and building materials and details to be approved by the local authority and conservation officers. This requires simultaneous technological compliance with current regs, coupled with consideration and sensitivity of material selection and detailing. The traditional stonework, which you've just been seeing, was replicated through cast concrete elements, both fixed and embedded in the facade, and squeezes or copies of the adjacent building ornamentation and lucky finds, as with this one, amongst the rubble of the infill, were used to replicate the original detailing, with some opportunity for personalisation around the entrance portico, as we've seen here. So the brick selection became more challenging, with over a dozen different samples being proposed to the conservation officers. These had to be available within the time frame of the building programme and come in imperial dimensions so that the coursing between the adjacent buildings could be properly matched. Our original proposed brick choice, a Smeed Dean, seen here on the left, was a very good match to the current weathering for the London stocks used next door, but was rejected by the planning officer as not sufficiently authentic, as in all through the brick. So with some reluctance, but subsequently good success, a Funton Old Chelsea Yellow was selected, and we're happy with the outcome. But the original concept was for the elevation to blend in from day one. It would likely take 10 years before weathering sufficiently catches up with the new bricks and the two properties appear seamless. So a modern structure with high thermal performance requirements inevitably and absolutely necessitates a cavity construction. in opposition to the solid masonry walls of the Victorian era. So the outer leaf of brickwork is laid with snapped headers, which are half bricks cut on site, to maintain the appearance of Flemish bonded brickwork, but traditionally tied back with an enlarged cavity for greater performance. So additional design issues arise when we're looking to replicate the design and layout of a 120-year-old building typology. At that time, little thought was put into the concerns of access into and around buildings and their adaptability for the evolving needs of the occupants within them. All houses of this type, to Breakspears Road, are accessible via two or three steps at the front door, depending at which point they come on the shallow fall of the street. Frequently, ramped access, modern handrails and associated guarding can seriously affect the visual appearance of newly constructed or adapted period-style properties. So we compromised with step-free access to the side passage, allowing for a full wheelchair access throughout the ground floor, including living areas, kitchen, utility and WC. This required some careful consideration of internal levels and a central broad internal ramp which gently connects the entrance hall to the kitchen, with a further benefit of the kitchen now being level with the garden beyond. Another key difference required of a modern building versus Victorian construction is a technological, regulatory, and important moral obligation for them to be environmentally low impact with low energy and resource requirements, utilising responsibly sourced materials. Our design tackled this through a combination of passive design moves and technological additions, which hopefully sit harmoniously with the design for the overall property. Primarily, the large atrium supporting the main stair circulation enabled lots of natural light to fill and penetrate deep into the building's plan, facilitated by the triple glazed supersized windows to the rear. Many extra windows facing south would have been to the passageway side of the property and would have been difficult to incorporate due to privacy and overlooking. However, these also risked the chance of excessive solar gain. So large windows and roof lights to the top of the atrium allow light to flood downwards while providing a means of ventilation and flushing the atrium at rare times of excessive heat. In fact, the low bearing masonry construction provides lots of thermal mass to the building, keeping it cool in the summer and warm in the winter. So low energy demands are helped with the natural light solutions and low energy fittings throughout, but the energy demands of a modern house are traditionally supplemented by an array of photovoltaic solar cells to the rear roof slope. And finally, the water demands of what could be potentially a large household are reduced with efficient fittings, but also a rainwater harvesting system which feeds into an underground tank below the patio, supplying water to the toilets, supplying the washing machine and water to the garden. So here are some further photos of the project in construction, which lay bare the building technology under its skin. So that's the empty site, and they're starting to dig the foundations. Frequently, equivalent Victorian houses are built on only several courses of corbelled brickwork. But as we've seen here, concrete foundations of about 2.5 metres deep were required to meet the regulations and support the masonry and steel frame of the house above. The addition of the steel frame was a necessity to create the large open plan and multi-height volumes of the atrium, which would not have been as easily achieved with original techniques and methods. So this is once the foundations have gone in, so this is the beam block floor. Sorry, it is a little bit difficult to see and a bit washed out. But you can start seeing now here the beginnings of the steel frame being erected. And then the various kind of internal and external walls going up and integrating into that steel frame. So that's a view of one of the portal frames being constructed at the rear. And as the building sits adjacent to its neighbour. So the view on the right is actually the view kind of coming down the hallway, looking back down towards the kitchen to the garden beyond. that's sort of a little bit more developed, but same view as previously, one of the large portal frames at the rear. And so that was a large window which actually sits over a double height space over the hallway. And this is a view looking upwards while the stair is being constructed, which essentially wraps around a spine wall rising up through the building. And just above the gentleman there, you can kind of see the roof lights, one of the roof lights at the top of the atrium, bringing light down. So the project was very well received and successfully presented at Open House last year with long queues and to come and walk around. So you can see this here and a bit of press. But finally, I'll just show you some photographs of the finished building. So the two contrasting elevations. Then this is the staircase. So this is kind of as we come in through the front door and the staircase on the first flight going up to study. This is a view from the kitchen looking back towards that atrium space and the staircase hovering within that void. Some of the roof lights which are used over the kitchen area. And then again, this is the staircase that wraps up through the building. So back down to the living space, and this is some of the joinery which separates and is used to subdivide the space. And this is kind of as you move up through the building. These are some of the views that you get looking down. So the one on the left is the sort of the master bedroom view, which you so as you come out every morning, you'll always capture a glimpse both of the garden and the kitchen downstairs. The view on the right is a kind of study space which was built from the first half landing of the stair.
Sorry, if I can just
That's fine.
We're
right. No problem. I'll just flip through. Yeah, no, I am. Yeah.
Fantastic.
So just some of the details of the rear brickwork, and that's it. Thank you for listening.